This is Future Tense from American Public Media for Tuesday, August 24th, 2010. I'm Larissa Anderson in for John Moe. There's a new video game coming out in October. It's the latest in the Medal of Honor series. Maybe you've seen these. They're first-person shooter games usually set in World War II. Players can storm the beaches at Normandy, survive the attack on Pearl Harbor. This latest version has a new twist. It takes place in Afghanistan. The company that makes the game, Electronic Arts, consulted with soldiers who fought in Afghanistan. Here's a clip from their website.
They asked me to watch some of the footage and comment on the weapons, comment on some of the tactics.
I look at it as an opportunity to do the right thing and let them see the operator for what he is.
Over the weekend, Britain's defense secretary called the new game tasteless. The mother of a fallen soldier said on Fox News recently that war is not a game. But we've always told stories about war, from the Iliad to Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five to movies like Platoon and The Hurt Locker.
There's no question that there's a total double standard applied when it comes to video games versus other forms of popular medium like television, movies, and books.
Heather Chaplin is the author of Smart Bomb, The Quest for Art, Entertainment, and Big Bucks in the Video Game Revolution.
Again and again, we see that games are not supposed to tackle difficult subject matter. They're certainly not supposed to tackle anything that makes us squirm or makes us uncomfortable. But to me, this is just really wrongheaded because games at this point are a really mainstream form of culture. And do you really want something that's that big a part of our culture not to deal with real subject matter? Do you want to see them only handling, you know, dragons and elves and orcs and other products of juvenile imagination?
Chaplin's not the only person who thinks video games have come of age and are ready to take on big issues like the war in Afghanistan. Ian Bogost researches video games at the Georgia Institute of Technology. He says the very form of video games can prompt us to understand our world in new ways.
When you play a game, you're really engaging with a system rather than a story. By forcing us to engage with the way that something works in the world, we get a sense of something that's very different from just seeing the headlines. Another feature of games that's powerful is that idea of role play, of being put into the shoes of someone else rather than watching or being narrated to. And when you have to make those decisions yourself, then you really fully realize the consequences of the actions. And then in a video game, especially a modern commercial-grade game of the caliber of the Medal of Honor series, you have a whole world that is simulated. There's a kind of environment that is, we usually call it realistic, but it's more than just the way it looks. It's the idea that you are taking those systems, those sets of rules and those roles, and embedding them in a context in which they're meaningful. They're not being abstracted away into the Netherlands.
Of course, Bogost hasn't seen the new Medal of Honor game either, but for all the game's potential to help us understand the war in Afghanistan, he's not sure it's going to do that.
Electronic Arts, or whoever else wants to make a game like this, they have to make a good, meaningful game about Afghanistan or about whatever topic they're dealing with. They have to make it engage with that subject at least as effectively as those other media forms are doing, so that you would play this game and have a sensation like you might have watching The Hurt Locker or Black Hawk Down, which are powerful and disturbing and agitating and, you know, make us feel all sorts of complicated emotions and contend with difficult ideas. I think on the one hand, yes, video games have not received the respect that other media have. But then on the other hand, perhaps they haven't yet demonstrated that they deserve it.
Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. Imagine a world in which it's illegal for an employer to get information about a job applicant on Facebook. That's the world Germany might live in. On Wednesday, the German cabinet will consider a new law to keep bosses from sniffing around in prospective employees' social media pages. The law will still let them Google applicants. And a senior astronomer with the SETI Institute says any search for alien life should include a hunt for sentient machines. The idea is that technology evolves much more quickly than biological life forms, so odds are in favor of finding alien artificial intelligence. Producer Julia Barton is here. Hi, Julia.
Hi. We've all heard about body scanners being used at security checkpoints and airports.
Yeah, but they're not just at the airports. They're in U.S. courthouses, too.
Right. They work a lot better than metal detectors. But now some senators are asking the U.S. Marshals Service why they stored 35,000 of these scanned images.
We should say the U.S. Marshals Service says it was unintentional and nobody saw them.
But the senators want to make sure it won't happen again.
We'll follow the story and have updates on our site. You can follow us on Twitter. We're @FutureTenseAPM. In for John Moe, I'm Larissa Anderson. This is Future Tense.